Hi, everybody. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show where you talk about your, well, actually, where we open your Akashic records, we answer questions, and help you get insight into your current situations. And that can come from anything from a love situation, or it also can come in the form of not necessarily what to do so much as it is to help you understand why certain things have happened in your life and things like that. In other words, like the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. And every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And what I do is I use a specific sacred prayer to open the Akashic Records that's been handed down from the Pleiadians to the Mayans to us. And so what I do is this prayer I say before the show starts, and we move forward into, if somebody calls in, and hopefully they've emailed me their current legal name. If not, I work off the name they give me, and we move forward that way. It's important to understand that, again, this is not about futures. It's really about the here and now. Our future is basically in our own hands. We are doing things within ourselves that create our futures. It's the choices we make create our futures. And we actually have an email question already to start the show, which is great. And I just wanted to give the email address out. If you have a question you want to have answered, please email info@akashicwisdom.com and include your name and your current legal name, if you will, and the question. And I will bring forth what I either see, hear, or feel from the Akashic Records. So just one moment, let me get to that question. I'm actually looking, we had something come forward from the records last time, and there was a specific, I wanted to give people the link to the archives, and I am looking for it. So in my on my computer, and I, for whatever reason, I'm not seeing it. So we are okay. I'm not seeing it. So we're going to go back to our questions. And here is a question from Kim in South Oregon, and the question is: can you give me a quick mini reading as to if I should keep going with the current love relationship I am in, or if it is over? I love him dearly, but we are at a crossroads, and I feel so torn. Thank you for anything that comes through, and thank you for your show. I love it. Well, thank you, Kim, for listening. If I had this young man's name, that would be great. I don't. I just have yours. Not that I would open his records. We don't open the records of anyone without their permission. However, many times when we're doing a relationship question, the question that we ask is, rather than should you keep going or not, we ask what the purpose is of the relationship between yourself and this other person. And is it complete? So the idea here is that but we are now going to ask regarding you. I'm just waiting for it. I'm hearing that I know that there's something coming forward on this, Kim, so just give me a minute. And ladies and gentlemen, as I bring forth information for people, many times there will be some silence. It's not like I'm sleeping or you've lost me. I just have to listen. As I said, I don't channel this. This information just does come to me. I either see, hear, or feel it, and I then tell you exactly what I see, hear, or feel. And that same thing if we were doing a full one-hour telephone consultation. Okay. So I think with this, all right, so what the question that they're suggesting that be asked is, what is the truth regarding the current love relationship? And I'm going to say Kim's full legal name silently. Well, first of all, what's important here for you to understand, Kim, about this relationship is that the crossroads you're at is important for you to understand and look into and gain insight as to where this person's values are. It's also important that you become clear about what you truly want and how you want your life to look and feel. And how does what this person offers, is what this man offers you the way you want your life to look and feel? And what part of you do you have to give up in order to stay with him? Because what I'm hearing is there's a part of your, I'm hearing the word creativity, but there's also, there's a part of you that is dear to you that you would have to give up or would be diminished if you were to stay. And the answer to your question lies in the energy of the question. So what happens here is that you have to decide what you are willing to give up in order to stay in love with this man. And how long will that be okay? How long are you going to be willing? Are you going to be willing to give up a part of you that is dear to you in order to stay in this relationship? And it's not so much that the master's teachers and loved ones are going to tell you what to do, so much as they are telling you to really ask yourself these questions. So thank you for his name. So that again, we want the truth of the relationship between yes, and that's exactly what they're saying, Kim. So if you want to respond either by calling now, I do want to say that anyone is welcome to call in, here to BBS Radio. We actually offer a toll-free number for Station 2, and or you can continue to ask your questions via the email. But if you'd like to call in, our toll-free number is 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. and Canada. Or you can dial it directly if you're out of the country our country code is 011, and you can call 530-513-6472. Again, 011-530-513-6472. So what I want to understand, and I wish I had you on the phone, it's very important that, when we do this work, everything is on our planet is made up of vibration and frequency. And so the vibration of frequency is much stronger when we're hearing voices, because that's the true vibration and frequency. So the insight that you need to get back to that is, what part of you would you have to give up to be able to stay with this person. At the other, and also there's a part of him that he'd have to give up to stay with you. But that is not as strong because I can't. I'm not into his records. I end up without his permission. So hopefully that's helpful, and I'd love to get some feedback. So if you want to email some feedback on it, that'd be great. If anyone else would like to email a question, you can email it at info, I-N-F as in Frank, O, at akashicwisdom.com. Or you can give a call at our toll-free number. So one of the things that has been... I'm going to move on unless Kim emails me some more information. But one of my curiosities, when I went into the records today, I opened my own Akashic records and I asked different questions. And today, it was a large question, and I only got a part of the answer because. What's interesting is that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records will meet you where you're at and give you the information you need for that moment. And so the question I had is, what is the truth about God, Jesus, 2012, the whales and the dolphins? And one of the first commentary that came forward on that is something that's actually very interesting, but I have a sense that there are other folks out there, especially whale communicators, that have already gotten this. But what I'm hearing is that the whales are actually extraterrestrials. And for people who understand whales and their communication, I don't think this is news necessarily. It was more confirmation. The whales are actually extraterrestrials. They've been on the planet... more than a million years, much more than that. They are also the guardians of underwater civilizations, and these civilizations are actually beneath the bottom of the ocean, so deep that we as humans would never be able to get at it. But the reality here is that these civilizations are actually acting as guardians and protectors of our planet. It's like everyone that has come to the planet has incarnated into this body, especially during this time in history, has taken on the responsibility to what they were telling me is live a fear-free life, and we are coming into that now. More and more, we are moving into the aspect of love. One of the issues here is that we have the potential in the next 100, and I'm also hearing 1,000 years, to move into a space of non-war. That we became a warring nation, not a nation so much as a civilization, only 5,000 years ago, and based on other visitations that created a negative energy that we as original humans had not come in from. We didn't actually incarnate with that intention more than 5,000 years ago. But what happened is that because our beingness was threatened, we began to fight back. The survival instinct came forward. And when the survival instinct came forward, it also came forward from a place of fear, but not just the fear. Fear became more of a way of life because we were always kind of looking backwards to see who was was behind us. And so that happened like 5,000 years ago. And we need to look at that. We need to see that was when we began. So if it, you know, 5,000 years in the scheme of a million or more years that this planet has been in existence and has gone through many ice ages and et cetera, we have to realize that 5,000 years ago is not that long of a time. I mean, we've had many lifetimes within that. So I would love to discuss this with someone if they'd like to call in. You certainly can. You can call in and talk about this or whatever insights you may have gotten, and you know, we can find out what is the truth of this. And again, you can call in 888-429-5471, or you can dial directly at 530-513-6472. And my producer is there, and he will take put you on the air and talk to me. So what is your information? What do you, as a person, what do you believe about the whales and the dolphins? What do you feel in your heart when you see one of those beautiful, huge creatures? How does that make you feel? And what's interesting for me, I only feel love. I've been blessed to be able to be on a boat where, you know, it seemed like hundreds and thousands of, well, I wouldn't say thousands, but clearly hundreds of dolphins were coming toward us, and we were able to see some gray whales. And you know, my friend also is a whale communicator, and I have other friends who are whale communicators, and they are all very kind of in alignment that with the Akashic Records message that we need to be love now. We need to be able to shift and transform our way of beingness from a place of fear to a place of love. And you're probably hearing that from a lot of different teachers out there. And what's interesting is when you hear that from a lot of different teachers, somebody must be saying something correct, right? I mean, this is important information for you. So. And the messages that we are getting, not only from the whales, but from our other animals, is that we are coming to a time where we can only look to ourselves and literally only take care of ourselves. I know that sounds very selfish, and it is our job to help the downtrodden and those who need extra help. That's our job. However, we have to help ourselves first. We have to be and be love within ourselves first before we can help anyone else. The same way you have to forgive yourself first before you can forgive anyone else. And so it's time for us to do our own inventory, our own personal inventory. And find out what parts of ourselves are blocking us from loving ourselves. Oh, I did get a comment from Kim, by the way, and her answer was made total sense to her. The answer made total sense, and that she will take that inward to move forward, and that it's hard for her to call right now because she's not able to have the privacy that she wants. Well, thank you, Kim. I so appreciate you getting back, and I'm so glad that answer was helpful for you. But again, back to what we were saying is it's time for us to take a personal inventory, not only of what we decide or what we are afraid of within ourselves, of our fears. I mean, we have to look at what are our fears. And what are it's what does our self-talk tell us about our greatness? And the question we need to ask ourselves is, how can I step into my greatness? Or what does greatness mean to me? Is there a part of you that doesn't believe you deserve greatness, or that deserve to be in a fashion of greatness? Now, I'm not talking about ego here. I'm talking about appreciating yourself for who you are. I'm talking about you being very clear about what you love about yourself. And so this personal inventory is all about getting clear about what it is that you want to create in your world. What do you want to create in your world? And as we told Kim earlier, and this is for all of you as well, how do you want your life to look and feel? And when you think about that design or that vision, and you take a look at your life now, and you take a look at your life the way you want it to look and feel, where is the discrepancy? And within that discrepancy, what can you do to move forward toward the life you want to have? So the journaling questions that you can take into your heart tonight and you can journal about are exactly what we just were talking about. What's your design? What burns in your heart that you would like to have in your life? And if, in fact, you're coming up with, I don't know, you have to look at the fact that if you don't know what you truly want, you're hung up on it being perfect or you're being right. This has nothing to do with being right. It has only to do with joy. So what in your life, what don't you have in your life that you want in your life that would bring you great joy? And that's very, very important. It's very important. Because we have to have a goal. We have to have a roadmap. Okay? Great. Okay, so I just got a notice from a listener that someone tried to crawl in, but the line was busy. Okay. And the question is from Bob, and his question is, last summer, right as I was waking up, I heard voices of at least two beings speaking about me, and they were saying that I would have to make a choice. Then I became fully awake. My question, was that only a dream, or was that a real experience? If that was a real experience, who are those beings, and what is the choice they were talking about? And I would imagine that if this was a real experience, this would be a very important decision, but I do not know what they were talking about, so I'd like to know. Okay, well, we can certainly find that out for you. And if anybody else is having a hard time with the busy signal, I encourage you to try again. Let me give you those numbers before I answer this question. Again, it's 888-429-5471 or 530-513-6472. You could even try 530-413-4520 or 530-413-9537. Now you've got all the different numbers that get a hold of me here. And And please try those numbers. Again, the 888-429-5471. But do give a call if you're, you know, and for the questions. Okay, so, Bob, as to your question here. First of all, that was a real experience. It wasn't a dream. And who's to say dreams aren't real experiences anyway? But in that particular case, it was really more of a, and it's interesting, we could, it's what I'm hearing, is it actually was a wake-up call. And because notice what you just said in your email. You said that you heard voices of beings about, they were saying that you had to make a choice as you were waking up, and then you became fully awake. And the actual information or the choice you had to make is whether or not you were willing to become fully awake, not just at that occasion about waking up, but there is an awakening that is happening within you that is calling for you to accept that awakening within you. It has to do with you trusting who you are. It has to do with you trusting your gut feelings. It has to do with you choosing to live a conscious life about what your spiritual gifts are. And so the choice was whether or not you wanted to live consciously, or in somewhat of denial. Now, I don't know what this means for you, but there's something, what I'm hearing is there is or was something in your life that you were really trying to deny or put your head in the sand about, either at that time last summer or even now. I'm not getting a clear vision of that. But what I am hearing is that if it's taking you this long to be curious about this without taking any action about questioning that, even for your higher self, even with journaling, then it's really important that you realize that this is a confirming answer to what is in your heart. Oh, hello, caller. We have a caller. Hello, this is Donna. How can I help you?
Hi, Donna. It's Bob. And
hey, Bob. Hopefully that answer was helping you.
To a degree, yeah. I've had so many strange experiences that I wouldn't even know where to begin.
I can hardly hear you. Can you talk up or hit the volume on your phone?
Let me see.
Did better. Yeah.
Okay, that's as high as it goes. But I've had so many strange experiences that I don't know where to begin. So I'm not quite certain what they're specifically addressing.
Well, but what they're addressing is that the strange experiences you have, each one has given you I'm trying to wait for the words here. An emotional aspect. There's been an emotional feeling that has happened with each unusual situation.
Oh yeah.
and it's important for you to document those emotional feelings and those
That's
gut feelings.
Hard.
Say again.
That's hard.
Maybe you don't want to go back. Maybe you don't live in the past. But do you meditate at all? Do you journal?
This has started to happen over the last year and a half. So I'm kind of in the dark.
I don't understand. What has started happening?
Well, I guess that my experiences have been happening throughout my life, but this waking up bit happened more consciously over the last year and a half.
Waking up and hearing things being said?
No, that only happened last summer, pretty much. So that was a new one.
I'm not sure what you're talking about waking up. I really would like you to be a little clearer.
Well, as far as I guess you were saying that the beans were saying that I had a choice of waking up.
That's what your email said, yes?
Oh, correct. But you began to explain that that's what the beans were saying.
And that you had a choice of becoming more aware in your life.
Okay. But it seems to be more dramatic lately, or over the last year or so.
In what way?
Well, hearing voices, that's pretty dramatic. I don't think most people hear that and would think that that would be a part of a normal reality.
But what are the voices saying to you?
Well, no, that was the only time last summer when I heard those voices, and it was a pronounced, it wasn't really auditory, it was like inside of your head, if you've had that
right,
experience.
Right, exactly.
Okay, all right, so you've had that. So I had not had that before, so that was a new one for me. I had another strange experience on a walk, and this was a very, very strange experience that I was going to ask you about before. This happened over within the last year, where I was taking a walk and early in the morning, and I heard a growl.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to see if that was a true experience, because I'd felt something else come in almost immediately and remove that, whatever it was. Now, is there any insight on that, or?
What were you feeling at the time?
Fear.
Prior to that?
A little sense of foreboding, because I was approaching a dark section of a wood, and it was just a very slight, strange, foreboding feeling. But then I heard that, and it was very auditory, and I thought, well, just a fear.
And did you stop in your tracks?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Then all of a sudden something shifted the energy, right?
Immediately.
Yeah, that was a real experience. Actually, what I'm hearing is that an angel swooped down.
I know.
And shifted the negative energy, and it was an animal, but you didn't have to. But the animal was actually embodying a negative energy, and it was your guardian angel was right there for you.
Okay, I felt that.
Uh huh. True.
And what was the animal?
They're not showing me, and
okay,
it's not
right,
even important.
Fine. Yeah, I understand that.
It was really more, you have to understand that what I'm hearing right now, Bob, is when these things happen, notice that you already knew what happened. You just said, that's what I thought, that's the way it was, yes.
Yeah.
You need to start trusting that.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't, when those things happen, you get the insight instantly as it happens.
Right.
But I didn't know that was going to happen. I had no idea what it was. And there's no context, in other words. So
the context is for you to trust.
All right.
So,
I get that now.
Yeah. You have to understand that when something like that happens, so notice, you immediately felt fear, and then almost instantaneously you felt protected.
Yeah. And it was almost like a three-pronged energy that came in. It was so complex and so dramatic and so, I can't explain it. It was just like, it was instant. And I knew something had happened, but I didn't know what was going on. And as a human being, when something like that happens, you have to question whether that was real or not. And that's not something that you could share with your friends or your buddies.
Well, but the deal is that the fact that it happened made it real. The fact that you felt it made it real. Because it was real to you, and it happened for a reason. What part of, again, remind me of where you live?
In
Michigan?
Colorado.
You're in Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said Michigan. But the idea is that it's really going to be important. You have some... And what I'm hearing is you have some very important work to do, and so your awarenesses are being really sharpened, and it has to do with trust.
Okay.
And the trust has to do with you trusting yourself and your own gut that what you're feeling, seeing, and hearing is real.
All right. So as part of this work, now I know that the masters aren't going to go ahead and indirect, but if I ask a question, would they give some sort of a feedback that may be helpful for me to figure it out?
Ask the question and find out.
All right.
I don't know what they're going to answer.
Yeah, I know. This is, of course, another weird experience Bob had. But you had told me that when I was camping up in the Tetons, that an alien light being approached my campsite. Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember it, but it's
okay.
Not important for me to remember it. I don't remember anything that I tell people about 5 minutes after I said.
Yeah, I don't remember you saying that, so, but I understand.
Yeah.
But this alien light being approached me, and I did not know anything about this at that time. This was actually a week before 9/11, or it was in 2001.
Uh-huh.
And this alien light being approached me, but I had seen a black bear within 2 miles of my camp within a couple of hours before this happened. So when I went to bed or went to sleep that night, I had a hatchet and a fold-out saw blade near me because I figured if a bear came, I was going to get ready. I've had a lot of experience with bears. I used to live in Alaska in a tent for 3 summers. But anyways, so when it came, I made a very aggressive sound, and it went away. So since you had informed me of that, I went back through my pictures, and I had found a few strange things. And also, I had seen the very last UFO sighting that I'd seen with witnesses was up in the Tetons.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't just me. It was me and two buddies, and we had seen this for a while. And I had heard that there are aliens living within the Tetons.
That's right.
And I've also heard that there's a vortex called the Earth Grid Vortex. I don't know if that's real or not. There are some researchers who pulled that together. But I had done research on my own, separate from that, and the caldera of the Yellowstone supervolcano, some of the eruptions, they go out in about a 500-mile radius, which would coincide exactly with that vortex that these people say exists.
Uh-huh.
And then you had told me that the masters had informed you that there was a portal within inside of that vortex, located within the Tetons, that was real close to where it camped.
Right.
All right.
That
so,
I don't remember it, but I'm getting confirmation.
Okay.
Yes.
So that, and then there are alien light beings living within the Tetons as well, correct?
Well, they have been there for eons.
Right. So I had felt a few times when I first went up there, almost a resistance by the forces of nature. And I kind of plowed right through it anyways to go to my campsite. And I'm not certain if that was like a test or if they didn't really, really want me around or anything.
They didn't want you around. You wouldn't have been around.
Okay, I got to figure this much.
and you wouldn't. The reality is that anybody that, first of all, there's people around there all the time that it's not about whether they want the humans around or not. It has to do with whether or not the humans can handle the energy.
Okay.
And so if a human can't handle the energy, the human doesn't stay very long.
Okay.
There's a specific high level of energy that's there that actually shifts the awareness or consciousness of all that come in contact with you with that area from a vibrational and a frequency point of view. Because of the vortex, because of the energy that's being held there, it's not bad. It's a beautiful energy and can expand a human being beyond their wildest expectations. If in fact it's not so much allow it as it is that they are willing to become aware of it.
Okay.
There's a lot of people out there, Bob, that have the potential to be very, very aware beings, but have chosen to not acknowledge it for their own reasons. And there was like, there's no pat answer for why they don't.
Okay.
So, but it's always going to be there, ready for them whenever they're ready to open up.
So it's some sort of a way of processing through fear. Is that it? Is that part of it?
Are you talking about the expansion of consciousness?
Yeah.
It's different with every person. To put a blanket aspect on it would be.
But is that part of it? Part of the process?
Well, it's part of the fear blocks people from being who they are. And so the expansion of consciousness that happens has the ability to actually help people feel fear more fear-free. Yes. It's really not even a process so much as an expansion of, but the words I'm hearing are the expansion of acceptance of all that is.
Yeah, and there's a lot to accept. There's a lot more out there, I would imagine.
Well, there's. It's not even. You can't categorize it.
No.
You can't even itemize it.
No, and all of my experiences have been so strange, bizarre. Is it okay to ask a few questions about past strange experiences I've had?
Sure.
All right. Well, the very first UFO sighting that I saw when I was 19 in Colorado. I have a feeling like I wasn't supposed to have seen that. It was just that it was like an accident almost. Is that correct?
There are no accidents when it comes to UFOs being seen.
Okay. But you
have to
understand
that.
They wanted me to see that one?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
There was like the scanning devices of what is or who is around are so much beyond what we have to even know about that when it comes to UFOs and being sighted, nobody sees it unless they're supposed to. Just know that.
All right. Okay. And then the second one I saw, that was really freaky. It was actually 5 years later, I went back to Colorado after moving away for a little bit, and I was in that same house, and I was walking up to a buddy's house. And out of the corner of my eye, of course, over the field, this ball of amorphous lights was coming. It had no shape. It had no definition. It was just a ball of lights. But I knew, okay, here we go. And it flew over my head, and I was scared to death. But then I went up to my buddy's house, and we were actually having a... There was a balloon rodeo in this one mountain town I was living in, and my buddy was having a mimosa party at really early in the morning, at 6:30. We were drinking champagne and orange juice, but a whole party of people came to the door because my buddy's like, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm looking at a UFO. Want to see it?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, right." Before you know it, all of us are there looking at this weird ball of lights, and he's asking me what it was. I had no idea. Is there any insight as to what that was?
What I'm hearing is it had nothing to do with you seeing it. It had more to do with it observing you.
Yeah, I noticed that because it slowed. I saw it and I was like, okay, I'm scared. I do not want this thing to pass over me as I'm walking. But of course, it timed it to where perfectly where I had no choice. It went right over my head. But the other part of that is this. They had a little rag newspaper that used to come in the mail, like one of those things at the at the end of the shopping cart or at the grocery store. I can't even remember those things, the tabloids.
Uh-huh.
They had one of these tabloids, and in that tabloid it said that on that day that 1,800 people in Colorado had seen UFOs or a UFO.
Okay.
Or had reported them. We didn't report it. And the strange part about it was is that, I won't even go into it. There was something in the, but it was so strange. It was like, oh, my God. It seemed like it was a personal message to me, and I was like, oh, my God. So, and I was like, oh, my God, that was just too strange. But they wanted to look at me. Why?
But it wasn't just you. It was your, the whole group of you. And what I'm hearing is that it would really be helpful for you to start reframing and rephrasing your accounts of these things. You have a tendency to say this is weird, this is, you know, in almost like a negative way, and rather than, and what they're suggesting is that you move into a place of gratitude and joy for being part of that experience. And it's really, they're suggesting that you really move into that space instead of trying to make it weird and like, gee, what's wrong with me, or I'm being weird, or this is really weird. Rather than that, just say, this was a very interesting experience, and actually moving into a place of joyful curiosity.
Well, the very last UFO,
because there's a negative, like, I really don't want to know unless it's special to me. And so what they're suggesting is you move into a place, and they keep saying this, of joyful curiosity.
Well, you had mentioned at the start of the show about the whales being aliens.
Absolutely.
And I sent you a picture when you had your show with the guest who had, who is the whale expert. Remember that?
Do I remember the picture? I don't think I got it. Did I say anything about it?
Yeah, you did. Yours, because the whale had actually breached the water, and it looked like it was completely out of the water, and you had mentioned over there, oh, wow.
Huh.
So
I don't remember that, but okay. That. I'm not saying that you didn't. I'm just saying that I don't remember it, but go ahead.
That's okay. That's all right. But your guest gave her take on it, but I never did hear your take on that as far as it, about that encounter. Now that I know that they were aliens, because it seemed as though they were coming towards me. I had mentioned to you I was on a ferry boat, and I went out on this one side deck, and on the tail end of the boat, there was an overhang and a heater, and so like 50 people had congregated there. But these two whales came in a straight line, it seemed like, towards me, and then they began to spy hop out and look, and I just took a bunch of pictures. And so when you had your guest on there who was talking about whales, I sent you the pictures in. But
this recently, like last month or something?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago or so.
Well, I was in California at the end of April.
I guess maybe it has been a while.
Huh?
I guess maybe it has been a while. But was there anything... I'd asked you what it was, if there was some sort of connection they were trying to make, or what was the communication on that?
And what did the guest say?
She said that whales were healers,
mm-hmm.
and that they were giving me healing energy.
Right, but it's really a lot about. Helping you to wake up to your own spirituality, too. So the question that the masters, teachers, and loved ones have for you is, what are you actively doing on a regular basis to expand your own consciousness?
I do, since this had come to me on a more of a conscious level over the last year and a half, the way that I had been doing it, is doing research, which might sound lame to them, but I've been spending many, many hours doing research, actively trying to figure a lot of different things out.
Okay. Nothing wrong with research. But from a spiritual point of view, what have you done to expand your own personal spiritual experience of life?
As far as practicing, or you're talking about... I haven't learned practices.
Well, you don't have to learn practices. You can get silent and move into your heart. You can do breathing exercises. You can journal in a place of from a place of curiosity, asking questions to the universe. This is not about anything structured so much as it is about you moving into your higher beingness.
Well, I've been trying that where I don't have any formal training on it, so I've just started to develop things on my own, and I think this is what you're speaking of.
Yeah.
Where I do dwell on these things, and it's like, okay. And I try to go with it in a feeling sort of a way.
Okay.
Because I can't explain in a feeling sort of a way these different things that have happened, but I know that obviously they've happened for a reason.
Right.
But I haven't been able to figure it out. So, but I feel like I've been going more and more towards the spiritual side of it, whereas before it used to be the woo-woo side.
What do you mean woo-woo?
Well, you know, like the conspiratorial things, the alien thing, because I had seen light beings when I was 3.5 years old. I had told you that story months ago. And you had told me, because I grew up in Ohio, near Cleveland, as a matter of fact, right within a half a mile with Lake Erie, and you had informed me that that was another portal.
Right.
And they live there as well. And when I had that experience as a little kid, I was terrified, of course.
Yeah.
And there was four of them that were located over my head, and they just appeared because of something I had done. And did they choose to show themselves to me because of something that I had done when I was 3.5 years old?
Were they it had to do head? With who you are.
Okay. It wasn't because of that.
You know, there was like this. The thing is what this whole, all these experiences have to do with you opening your heart to yourself. It has to do with you discovering a divine presence within you. It has to do with you understanding and moving into the divinity of yourself. It's not just factual. I mean, it's not black and white here. The area that needs to be explored as well is your feelings of love and the expansion of your heart. And each one of these experiences, even though you've translated or interpreted certain ones as fear, what they're asking you to do is to move into a space of love and open yourself to receive the information that's coming to you from a place of love, not from a place of negativity and not from a place of fear. And so these experiences have been happening since you were a kid because that's your contract.
Okay. Have you had experiences with some of these beings?
Some of them.
Okay.
You know.
Because
but again,
I've had some...
and at first, before you realize what's happening, you do have a startling kind of a fear. Do you know what I mean? I don't know that it's a startle. It's startling yourself. It's like, wow, what's going on? And then if you allow, it can move into. I had a situation where I was in Roswell, New Mexico, with a friend of mine, and we had stopped on a roadside. There's a whole story that goes with this because we wanted to understand where the ETs were and stuff like that, and we wanted to open the records of the land to find out what's going on when we did, and that's a whole other story for another show. But
Chevron and Aztec.
What'd you say?
As far as New Mexico, you're talking about Chevron and Dulce and Aztec?
No, I'm talking about Roswell.
Right, but you said in New Mexico, so I thought maybe there were some other places there, which I'm
no,
sure there are.
No, we were in Roswell, New Mexico, specifically, in the Roswell, New Mexico area, and we were literally in a place that was off the freeway. And we drove back on this road that was off the freeway that was supposed to be, have a barbed wire, but there was no gate there. So we drove back there because we were guided to go there, and we both found different places. When I finally found a place and I ended up sitting down on the ground, which is not an easy thing for me to do, I saw these wonderful light beings.
Yeah.
And I got the most amazing joyful, ecstatic feeling. It had nothing to do with fear. Nothing to do with fear. It had nothing. It only had to do with joy, and it was short of orgasmic. It was that type of joy that was exciting and wonderful. And from that point forward, I know that it's important information for us. We are going to be involved with extraterrestrial beings more and more as the years go by from an acceptance point of view. And it's up to us to be ready from a place of love for these beings to come and be visible to us or for us to be aware. The beings that we as humans want to be involved with are the ones that are our love beings. And the only way we can do that is to be love and open our hearts with love. And that's why what's being said to you is that it's really important that that you look upon these visitations or situations or experiences as a way of touching your heart to open it from an experiential point of view and to release any fear, feelings of fear. Because quite clearly, you were never hurt. Right? You were always protected. There's nothing ever, ever happened to you, right?
No, it's just that there was one I wanted to ask you about. It was it was a strange one. I have to say that because you've kind of said, don't say that. But it was a strange one to me. It was up in Alaska, and I think it was a dream, of course. But now that I've had these other experiences, I went back and I was like, okay, was this a dream or not? Where all of a sudden, I'm in this place, and I'm shown these—I called them blobby babies. They were like white blobby baby type deals.
Blobby?
Blobby, as in
B-L-B-B. Oh, blobby. Oh, like blobs. Okay.
And all of a sudden, there was an orb in the middle of the room, and it started to slowly rotate. The gravitation left, and we were in a gravitational field around this orb, and I was laughing my ass off. It was hysterical. It was just hysterical. And I was laughing so hard, and all of a sudden I felt the presence behind the door. They're very serious, these guys, whoever they were. Very, very, very serious. Like, serious. Like, I can't explain. There's no adjectives to even explain these guys. And that was fear. And before I know it, I woke up, and I probably wouldn't have remembered it, but I was laughing so hard in what I thought was a dream that I remembered it. Was that a dream, or was that an experience that was more than a dream?
Well, okay, so not to freak you out, but you travel and meet those aliens all the time. Not those specific ones, but every time you go to sleep, you're traveling, you know, extraterrestrially. So there's going to be some things that you're going to remember and some things that you're not.
Okay.
You know, so the idea
here is... The reason I remember
is,
that because of that emotional trigger of laughter.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard. And the thing was is that those blobby babies instantly recognized me.
Yeah.
And there was
notice the feeling that you had. Go back to that point right now.
Okay.
And move into your heart.
Oh yeah, I remember the love.
Okay.
It was like I remember that, and I was going to say that. And they recognized me, and I recognized them. But the guys behind the door, they were real serious, and they were trying to pick up the emotion, and they couldn't understand it.
Right, because there are some beings that have no human emotion, because we're unique to that.
All right. And so I did that of my own free will and volition?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was trying to help them out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure. See, what's important for you to understand is to move into a place of acceptance and curiosity.
Yeah,
But from
curious.
A place of learning, in other words, like but it's really about you asking your higher self and journaling out. But they keep saying to me, you need to move into your heart and out of your head.
That's like a tough transition with this at first.
Say again.
That's going to be a transition because it's all new to me as far as consciously knowing this.
Well, don't try. But you're trying to bite off more than you can chew. Move into your heart first. Receive and be willing to receive the love that's there from the universal energy of divine love. Just move into that.
Okay.
You don't have to make it complicated. I'm sorry, what?
No, this one last question because I know we're getting
sure.
late on time.
Right.
Last Thursday, I don't think it was this Thursday. I think it was the Thursday before. Before I woke up, I felt like an energy blast, like all throughout the cosmos. Was that real or not?
I'm not even answering that for you anymore.
Okay, all right.
Because you keep doubting yourself.
What that was.
Get out of your head, Bob. Get out of your head. Go into that feeling. You don't have to know what it is. If you want to, and here's the, this is very, very clear. It's about you. What's really important for you to understand is that when those things happen like that, it's about really putting your hand to your heart and saying, what do I need to know about this?
Okay.
Moving into a space of love and being able to really accept it. Because there are going to be vibrational shifts like that a lot coming.
That was the first one I had ever noticed.
Well, but there will be more.
Okay.
And what you need to know and ask in the moment is, what more do I need to know?
All right, that's good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And then allow it, you know, allow it. Allow that wisdom to come to you. Okay?
All right. Yeah. I'm going to let you go because I know you're
yeah, we're done on time. But again, move out of your head and welcome your questions. So glad you called. We love your questions. Don't please continue. But what's important for you to start observing is how you can move into love more often than not, okay?
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, Donna.
You're welcome. You have a great evening. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to go. And hopefully you've received something from these questions that we've had tonight. The most important thing for all of us to know is as we move forward into this wonderful year of 2012, we have the opportunity to be more love. And I know that this sounds like a broken record, but what's really important is that we have to know and we have to be and we have to accept the divine energy that's around us. And the more we do that, the more we fill our hearts with joy, the more we can walk in joy. And the more we then model joy for others, and the more we model joy for others, the more they will take on joy. And the more joy we can really infuse this planet with, the more we have to look forward to. And so my time is up. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. I also want to wish a happy birthday to my son. His birthday was on May 31st, and I want to thank you all for listening. And I want you to just know how important your questions are, and I hope that you're finding benefit from this. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the Akashic Records for the Akashic Wisdom radio show by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Have a wonderful, miracle-filled week, and I will be here next Sunday. Same time, same station. If you'd like to talk to me privately, you can call me at 216-691-1233. Have a great one, folks. Bye-bye.